Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. And this week, it is my pleasure to bring one of Hampton Roads' premier running couples onto the podcast. These two are just simply amazing. So without further ado, let's welcome in Charles and Emily Spencer. You guys ready to go for a little run?
Let's do it.
Let's go, Mike. Thanks for having us.
You bet. You guys are always running.
Yeah, it seems like that sometimes.
Yeah.
It does. So when you're not running, what do you guys do for a living? And are you guys Hampton Roads natives? All that good stuff.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Norfolk. I work at Running Etc. I sling shoes. When I'm not doing that, I like reading, playing video games, watching the Orioles lose right now.
Not as bad as my Rockies, so it will never be that bad.
Getting there. There's some light around the corner.
Oh my gosh. I love baseball, but I cannot stand my Rockies right now. 9 wins so far on the year. It's amazing. It's a great season.
Oh, we'll break your heart, that's for sure.
Yes, it will. And Charles, what do you do?
So I am a warehouse and logistics manager. I am born in Portsmouth. I have been up in Northern Virginia, but have since been back here since 1995. But I pretty much call Hampton Roads my home for the most part.
So you guys are like two natives.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
So how did you two meet and how did you start running together?
So we met back in 2009 through some mutual friends. No running involved whatsoever with any of that. So that didn't come until much later in life. Probably about 10 years later is when running kind of happened for the both of us.
Seriously? So like 2019?
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. That's
wow. When we I just picture you two as like running to the altar together and running ever since.
No, we okay, kind of talkers, nerds that didn't do a lot of athletic things.
So how did you, like, I mean, you've been married at this point like 10 years, and how did all of a sudden you say, hey, let's start running?
I guess I can tell this story. So back in 2019, the company that I worked for was going around the office and asking a lot of us to do JNA's corporate 5K that was happening. Now, I didn't know anything about the running world at the time. I didn't know that all these events were happening. And they were like, hey, you know, you run, so you should totally do this thing. I absolutely said to them, I don't do anything of the sort. And at the time, I was going to the gym. I was trying to, you know, lift weights. I was a bit of a soft body at the time. I weighed about over 200 pounds. And I was kind of like, absolutely not. I don't run, until they started begging me to the point where it was annoying enough. And I just kind of caved in and said, all right, well, I'll go ahead and do it. And that kind of kicked it off for me. And I kind of did haphazard 5K training. I didn't know what I was getting myself into whatsoever. And I remember one day I was going to the gym, and before I left, you know, I said my byes and I love yous to Emily. And then I came back and I kind of made a loving comment at the time towards her, where when I left, she was sitting on the couch. When I came back, she was sitting on the couch, and I had said, ah, right where I left you. Now, there was no malice behind it whatsoever, but it was enough for her to kind of light a fire within her and to get herself involved as well. And she ended up signing up for the same 5K.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So you weren't working at Running Etc. at that point, right, Emily?
No, we were actually working for the same company at the time. So I was working
with
Tate. Yeah, just at a store level. It's funny because John kind of jokes like, oh, yeah, like if we had never got you to sign up for that 5K, you wouldn't have left us.
That's awesome.
At the time in 2017, like December of 2017, I had lost my brother to suicide. And the entirety of 2018, I spent on the couch, really. Wasn't doing a whole lot of anything. I mean, I was existing. I was going to work and paying bills, but I wasn't really living. So I was doing a lot of couch rotting at the time. Yeah. So it wasn't until 2019 where I was like, oh, this might be a problem. Maybe I should start moving my legs.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because I know that your brother's suicide has played a big role in a lot of what you do, right, Emily?
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of it.
So you start with this corporate 5K. Did you fall in love with running at this point, or what happened?
So I think, what had happened, we had gone out and we did that 5K. And I think with a lot of people, a lot of the same stories happen where for my case, it was a matter of health and weight loss and going on that journey. And for Emily's, obviously it was a thing of being in a good mental space and just getting out and doing something positive. But when we went to this event, there was a grand sense of community that we did not know existed. And it kind of felt right. It felt good to be a part of what everyone else is doing. And it's all the same goals for the most part. We all finish in different times, but we all run the same course together. And the atmosphere of that environment was awe-inspiring to us. And it really kind of led us down this great path of running. We ended up signing within the same year. We signed up for Wicked 10K, and then I had signed up for Norfolk Harbor in the fall. So everything kind of like progressed for me relatively quickly.
So this is 2019, right?
Yep, correct.
How did you advance? Because you started running ultras not too long after that, right?
Correct.
And how did
And
that come about?
I will let Emily tell that portion of the story because
Okay.
she is the bad influence for that.
Well, and yeah, I had started working at Running Etc. in 2021, and that's when I was kind of introduced to the ultra space with Mark being like the race director for Long Creek 60K. At the time, there wasn't a 30K, so it was just the long one. But I had started training for my first marathon, Shamrock, in for 2022. And Mark just loosely mentioned, like, oh, don't you want to run a 60K like a couple weeks later? Like, just kind of joking about it. And I'm like, yeah, actually, that sounds kind of fun.
Oh my gosh, that's
And
awesome.
Charles was very concerned. He was like, that
Okay.
sounds crazy. And it was, honestly, it was a little loony, but that's what kind of started it.
So you run Shamrock, and then isn't it like 3 weeks later that Long Creek is?
That year it was 2 weeks after. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So
Yeah.
you run Shamrock and you turn around and run a 60K.
Yeah.
You're crazy. That's awesome. I love it. So, Charles, this has happened. Did you run Shamrock Marathon also, or?
I did not run it. I think that year I deferred. I kind of have a bad relationship with that race. It's not necessarily the race itself. It's more or less me. I think Emily and I made an attempt back in 2020 or 2021, somewhere around there. Obviously, COVID happened for 2020. That got deferred. 2021, I passed on it. And then I don't know, 2022, I think either I got injured. I think I got into a training program, and then I think within the first week of training, I ended up spraining my ankle really bad, and it really put me out. So I tried to defer again. I think I didn't actually end up running Shamrock until 2023, which
Okay.
I ended up DNFing because
Yeah,
I just wasn't healthy at that point either. But I'm the type of individual who is, if I feel at a certain point that I can probably make something happen, I'm not afraid to kind of toe the line and at least get there. If I can get to the start line first and see what happens, then I at least know that I made it there.
right. So, Charles, what was your first ultra?
I got into that space in 2023. So it's really only been less than 2 years, really, since I've been in the game. I had started with JNA's Sun Up to Sundown.
Yep.
Now, granted,
Yeah.
it pulls in the idea from backyards for doing a certain distance on the hour every hour. Only this is a 50K, you're doing a 5K on the hour every hour.
Right.
And so
And was
I
that in
signed up for that.
2023?
Yes, I signed up for that in 2023. But to me, for some reason, I don't know why, it's not a knock against the race. It is a great race that they do put on. But to me, for some reason, I don't know why in my head I don't consider it. I think there's conversations that Emily and I have had with other people who are just kind of like, an ultra is considered when you go out someplace and you're running these distances and it's continuous. So for whatever reason, that was drilled into my brain. that is how it needs to be. And funny enough, that year in 2023, Emily was going for the Lynchburg Ultra Series.
Okay.
In which, by the way, great podcast that you had with those RDs. Absolutely.
They're amazing, aren't they? Yeah.
So Emily was doing Holiday Lake that year, and I was helping crew her. And through one of the aid stations I was waiting for, her, I was overhearing some banter from some other people, and they were talking about Promised Lands and how the views of that course is beautiful and all this, that, and the other. And I had almost written off the idea of trying to get myself involved in ultras in the first place. But for whatever reason, that conversation kind of resonated with me. And by the time we got back from Holiday Lake and got home, I had signed up for Promised Lands. And then I had shown Emily, and Emily was like, "Are you out of your mind?" Like, it was about the dumbest thing I could have done. So we ended up doing Promised Lands. And that, to me, is what I consider my first true official ultra race.
Now, you've also completed the whole Lynchburg Ultra Series, correct?
Correct. I did. I finished that last year, 2024.
Okay. So Emily, was last year, was that your second time doing it?
I didn't do the full series last year.
Okay.
The last year I did Holiday Lake and the inaugural 100K at Mount Massacus.
We're going to get into that. You guys are crazy. So your Lynchburg Ultra Series was in 2023?
Yes.
Okay. So of the Lynchburg Ultra Series, which one is your favorite one of those races?
Oh, that's so hard. I would say, oh man, I loved Terrapin Mountain in the sense of like that was my first true mountainous race. Mm-hmm. And it really kicked my butt, and I appreciated that.
That's awesome. So what about you, Charles?
I tend to have to agree with Emily, just because out of the four races there, that race in particular has a good mix of everything that you would want. It has a lot of really good runnable sections. There's great terrain. There's a summit that you have to do. It's truly a beautiful course. And honestly, it's at the right time of year. Personally, it's great weather as long as the weather is going to agree with the day. But yeah, I agree with Emily that Terrapin is probably my top.
Yeah, and the new race director's not too bad too, huh?
Yeah, he seems like a good guy.
Yes.
Yeah. This Brian Million guy. I mean, he's okay. Yeah.
Yes. We love Brian.
Everybody loves Brian. He's the best. So you've both done a 100-miler, or, because I'm confused about the sequence here, have you both done a 100-miler before?
Emily's the successful one. I've made attempts.
Okay. So, Emily, what was your first 100-miler?
The 24-hour run for cancer.
Was it really? Okay.
Yeah. That was the first.
Wow.
I know everyone's surprised, like, what? How is that the first?
That's crazy. That was just this last April, right?
Yeah.
And that was your first one?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I think that you ran one before? That's crazy.
So last year at the backyard, I was trying to get there. Didn't end up happening, but I feel like I had a strong outing at 20 yards. But my 100-mile race from last year was canceled the day before.
Oh, that's right. You were signed up to run Yeti last year.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Because you had trained so hard. But that morphs us into, you guys, were you already signed up to run Mountain Massacus last year?
We were signed up, but we were signed up for the 50-miler at the time.
Okay. Because you both ran the 50-miler in 2023, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you were signed up to run the 50-miler. Yeti gets rained out. The race directors, they all get together and create this thing with people like you in mind, right?
Yeah. I feel like the phrase rained out is pretty gentle.
Yeah,
but
flooded out? Yeah, maybe flooded out would be better because they still haven't repaired the trail completely. So you jump into the Mount Massacus 100K.
Yeah, after some stewing, because I feel like we were both pretty scared. At least I was, because the time cutoff was pretty strict, to the point where when I brought it up to Mark at the shop, he very quickly went, ooh.
Yeah, because I mean, 16 hours for 100K in the mountains, that's stout.
Yeah, you got to be moving.
Yeah, and so, when I had, you know, they had brought that option up about a month before the race was even set to start, you know, I think I gave it a couple days because I was trying to get some information. Since I was a part of LUS and the 50 miler is what's a part of LUS, I had to make sure that if people who are signed up for LUS, if we decide to bump ourselves to the 100K, do we still apply for LUS? They did their back end magic and they made it happen that whoever was assigned to LUS can do the 100K and still get the swag that they needed to. And that's kind of all the confirmation that I needed in order to do 100K. I was on the hunt for 100K anyways, just due to the natural progression of my idea of growing up in distance for races. I'm not the type of dude who's like, okay, well, I ran my first 5K. Now the next smart thing to do is for me to go ahead and do, you know, 100 miles because that's the right way to go and do it. No shame on anyone who does that. You're a stronger individual than me, but man, I gotta work up to it.
Okay, so you're more of a longer progression type of person?
Yes.
And Emily, how would you say you are?
Oh, I don't know. I guess kind of just silly.
I guess if anything, if running Shamrock 1 week and then 2 weeks later running the 60K, I think that can tell you everything.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Would that sum you up, Emily? So now, you guys, I mean, you've done some stout stuff. And Emily, you've podiumed a couple times, haven't you?
Yeah, never really expected that to ever happen, but
I think one of the first times I remember running the same race as you guys, not running with you because I can't keep up with you two. You're way too fast for me. But I think one of the first times I remember running with you was the Joe's Night at the Hamptons, one of Karen's races.
Man. I consider that one of my worst races.
Really? Because you did
so
outstanding.
Sick.
I mean, you
so
rocked
sick.
It.
I
You were
texting
sick?
Carl. Yeah. I had
No
memorized
way.
Where all the porta potties were. It rained terribly. I was just so sick. And I remember texting Charles, like, I think I might leave. I think I might go home early.
Are you serious? Because this was last August.
Oh, was it the first one I did? Oh, yeah. So I've
yeah.
done that twice now. Got it. Okay.
Or,
that was,
yeah, like, or that was... August of 2023 or something like that. And you
got
did,
it. Okay.
you were in the 5 hour and you were
yeah.
killing it.
Oh, now I'm remembering. I was remembering the first time I did that race where it was truly terrible.
That's amazing because I thought you were just so steady throughout the race and everything. And I was just like, wow, who is this person?
Last year was better.
Okay. All right. That's crazy. And then I think one of the other times I remember you podium, it may have been like maybe the 2023 Sandy Bottom 8 hour.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were just, you may have been, were you first or second overall that year?
Oh, I don't actually remember. Oh no, does that make me
No,
bad?
that's cool. Yeah, no, it's good because I mean those were the kind of the first times I remember, you know, watching you and thinking, wow, this is a really talented runner. And then I don't know that I had seen Charles in a race yet, or maybe I had. Maybe were you in that same Sandy Bottom in 2023?
No, I did Sandy Bottom in 2024.
Okay, so maybe I saw. I know I saw you in something. Oh, you know what? I remember, was it the 2022 Seashore 50K?
Great question. I don't know. I don't remember if I was in 2022 Seashore.
I think
Honestly,
you were in 2023.
I was in 2023 for sure. I know
Okay.
I've done that for the last 2 years.
All right. I'm picturing like 2022 for some reason, but I don't remember. And Seashore, you've done pretty well in, haven't you, Charles?
I've progressively gotten better the last couple of years, and
Yep.
that's kind of been my goal. So I think if I can keep that trend going to be a bit quicker in that distance for that race, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the thing I love about you guys as a running couple, because we see each other on Mount Trashmore a lot. You guys have got just the best attitudes. You're encouraging to people. You're smiling all the time. Where does that come from?
For me, it's just kind of the love of the sport and being with the community and seeing everyone else try and do some hill repeats at Mount Trashmore. I do complain sometimes, though.
Like in the rain this last Wednesday. Huh.
Yeah, that was, I just wanted to stay in bed, but we made it happen.
Yeah, you did. You guys make a lot of things happen. What about you, Charles? Where does the attitude come from?
I think through my tenure of doing this, my scope has kind of changed. Like I tend to start off being pretty competitive at these things, and I've kind of leaned more into helping others and enjoying that more than racing a lot of the times. So,
Okay.
any way to be encouraging to someone and seeing someone out there doing anything physical, just literally being outside, really is a big inspiration even to me, because if they can get out and go and do it, then quite literally anyone can get out and go and do it. It doesn't matter what you're doing, honestly. It's like you could be walking. As long as you're getting that fresh air and moving your body, like, that is powerful stuff. And being able to share that positive energy with people is great. And hopefully it passes along to everyone else.
Yeah, I think that's something that I really see in you. Like, I remember the JNA Shamrock Strava Challenge when you went out and you kind of blitzed everybody and, did that day where I don't even remember how many segments you did, but it kind of blew everybody's mind. And then did you hurt your ankle or something?
So yeah, Jeff had tagged me, like they did with a lot of people in that, and I initially wasn't going to go out and go do that segment, just because for me, logistically, Kempsville is it's I mean it's not too far away, but the traffic to get over there is atrocious,
Yep.
and the time spent having to spend to be out there would be lengthy. The segment is, almost 2 miles long, so it's a huge time investment to really get myself into it. But when I did go out there, I wanted to make it worthwhile. So I definitely wanted to kind of set the stage and see who really is going to be out here to take it serious. And so I was like, let me just light this fire and check it out. But I kind of had some nagging foot issues going on. Also, Holiday Lake was coming up. I wasn't trying to press it too much because I wanted to have a better time at Holiday Lake. But yeah, I mean, for the short stint that I was there for the Kempsville segment, I did have a good time. I did end up meeting John Willard while I was out there and had great conversation with him. And now looking at his successes, pulling out over 90 plus miles, almost 100 miles in his first ultra at the 24
Yeah,
hour
that was
is
impressive.
incredibly inspiring, like
Yeah.
crazy stuff.
Yeah. So, Emily, were you part of creating this running, etc. anniversary Strava challenge?
Yeah, I'm the reason why Chris Freeze's family hasn't seen him in weeks.
Definitely. I was actually considering, I was like, well, maybe I'll go out and lay down some numbers out at the Virginia Beach one. So, and then I looked one day and maybe it was Jeff had gone out and done 13. And I was like, okay, well, it hasn't caught on. And then I probably hadn't looked at it for like 4 or 5 days. And all of a sudden I look at it and Chris Freeze is already like at 100. And I'm like, well, okay, that one's over. So, yeah.
I was hoping it would be a little more competitive, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's crazy. The one in Norfolk is actually pretty competitive, isn't it?
I think somebody can end up duking it out for that one for sure. There's still a couple weeks left, so.
That's right. So, what is on Charles and Emily's schedule for the rest of 2025?
Well, I'm about to start like officially training for Rim to River, so I'm
Okay.
super excited about that.
All right. Gonna go up to the Appalachian Trail and take on the Priest Three Ridges.
We'll have to probably do some of that.
Yeah, we'll see if Adam Morrell can send us an invite, and he can dust us off up there.
There you go. Yep. Rim to River is going to be fun, don't you think, Emily?
Oh yeah, I'm really excited. I wasn't expecting to get in through the lottery, and when I got the email, I was like, "Oh yay!" And then it kind of hits you like, "Oh, what? I have to start training for this now."
Yeah. Well, you got a little bit of training. You and Charles and Eric Gwaltney crewed and paced Brian Million at MMT 100, right?
Yeah, we
That's
did.
correct.
So, what was that like? That because was this one of now, Charles? I know that you've crewed and paced Emily, or have you crewed Emily just at like the 50K type of things, right?
Yeah, nothing too extensive past that.
Well, the
Okay.
backyard, you did a good job.
Yeah, in the
Oh, that's
backyard
right. That's
too.
right. You did crew her the whole backyard. You were out there a long time. So
Yeah.
that was a taste of it. So what was your impression as you were crewing and pacing Brian at MMT? What were some of your takeaways from that that'll help you crewing and pacing Emily at Rim Driver?
Well, the first thing is sleeping is non-existent. That is a first thing that was a takeaway for sure. There's a lot of logistics involved, a lot of terrain that as a crew you have to traverse driving. I think the important thing is instilling patience with this type of stuff and just being ready and just presenting every avenue of success for someone that you can. Not really trying to ask too many questions, just absolutely just start shoving things in their face and just offering up your service the best that you can, because you don't want to make your runner think too much. You just want to be able to give them the tools to succeed. I think we did a great job at making that happen with Brian. And I mean, all due credit to Brian. Brian kind of already having skin in the game, you know, by doing 100 milers. He knows exactly what he wants, and he was very direct with letting us know that there are some situations that, you know, we questioned as a crew. We're just kind of like, are you sure about that? Do you want this? And he was just like, nope, and no, this is going to be a future Brian problem type of thing. We're just like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do then, and we're just going to send you off on your way. So hopefully what we did helps. But probably for Rim to River, if I can make it happen, if I can find probably a couple other people to get out there to help, that would be probably number one, is to sequester some more people, because doing these mountain races, especially at these distances, it's tough for one person to manage. And watching Adam Morrell crew his runner Richard at Massanutten as well, was he did a fantastic job out there helping out his runner. But I definitely think that having more than just myself would be a big benefit. That's probably my biggest takeaway.
Okay. So, Emily, what are some things that you took away from MMT to help you prepare for Rim Driver?
Watching all these runners come into aid stations was so inspiring. Like, especially during the night when things are the hardest, was really incredible. And Adam's runner, Richard, had like a phoenixing moment. Like, we all thought he was on the edge of DNFing, and he rose from the ashes and like made it happen. It was pretty incredible. And just running into the finish with Brian was super inspiring. And watching how many people it takes to keep runners going and keep things alive. I watched a very sweet, amazing podiatrist at 3 in the morning bandaging up people's feet. It was incredible.
That's awesome. So you're going into your first, true 100 miler, Rim to Rivers kind of mountainous, few pretty special climbs. How are you going to prepare yourself mentally for the grind, especially those nighttime hours?
For me, I feel like I just get really stubborn at night. Like, I didn't want to throw in the towel at the 24 hour, even after the rain hit. And I spent a lot of the masochist course at night when there were coyotes around. And I think it's just being patient and not wigging yourself out and just putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, anything other than Rim River on you guys' schedule this year?
We're both doing 1 mile with a smile out at
Okay.
Oak Grove. So we're doing that 12 hour again. And then for me, I'm keeping things pretty light this year for the most part, but I do actually want to go back out and do Masochist 100K again. That course is turned into something special, and not only that, adding that extra mileage to that course was truly something else. It was probably, quite honestly, the best part about the entire race was adding
Yeah.
that on. And
Talking to the
there's
guys, it sounds like that loop is just a phenomenal loop.
it was the most like one of the most beautiful parts of the course. It was telling everybody, like, man, all these 50 milers missed out on this really awesome section.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's awesome because this year they added an extra hour to it, so you got 17 hours, which I think is very doable.
Yeah, get a little more time.
It takes a little bit of the pressure off, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
Still have to
like
make it
last
easy,
year,
though.
was it the 50-mile cutoff that you guys were sweating the most?
For last year,
Yeah.
I think the 16 hour cutoff really was in the back of our heads. Like, oh man, we don't know if we really can do this. You know, we're dirty Flatlanders from Hampton Roads. What are we doing out here chasing these obnoxious cutoffs in a mountain race like this? And, you know, I had set my watch to do a pace pro program for like 15 hours and 50 minutes. So I was like, let's keep it like this. And I pretty much let the watch do the talking. And I just listened. And whenever I felt good, I would pound it out and make things happen. And it turns out, you know, I finished in 13 hours and 38 minutes. So there were still 50 milers coming in when I was finishing. So that was kind of like a shocking realization that someone who hails from one of the flattest places on earth, going out and doing all this, you know, almost 11,000 feet of elevation, just making it happen. It's probably the one race I've done that I'm so incredibly proud of.
Yeah. And to top it off and have that be the final of the Lynchburg Ultra Series had been quite the feeling also.
Yeah, it was sweet to do LUS, but then also have that extra distance tacked on from the 50 miler. To me is something special, because being one of the first people to make that happen is pretty cool. I've joked with Emily talking about, you know, what if I just made the 100K an annual thing, and, you know, I have to get sweet swag by the time I'm doing this 10 years in, and no one else has this stuff, because, you know, everyone who's done annual 50 milers has gotten all their sweet stuff. But I don't know. There's something about that race and that distance that was just, I don't know, pure bliss.
Yeah, that's awesome. I look forward to being out there and watching you guys. I'm going to volunteer the whole weekend, so that'll be fun. So, future of ultra running for Charles and Emily. If you could dream of your dream race, what would you guys like to get into? Emily, you start.
That's a tough one. There's a lot of races like here in the States that are so intriguing to me. Like getting out on the West Coast would be cool just to experience that. But also there's so many beautiful places in Europe, and it would be cool if they have like a big long New Zealand race.
Okay.
And go through like sets for Lord of the Rings and things like that. But I do dream of running in scenic places.
Okay.
So that's kind of my main thing.
All right, Charles, what about you?
So as you know, Cocodona has happened.
Yeah.
I think we're now a good week and some change outside of that. Don't worry, I'm not looking to actually do Cocodona. But considering there's a lot of great races out in Arizona.
Yeah.
One race in particular that I've kind of stumbled upon and kind of latched onto is Saddles 100. I kind of like the vibe of that race. I'm also a big fan of Running Jesus, Michael Versteeg.
Yep.
So I definitely would love to go out there and run that race for sure, just because seen a lot of videos of that race and just how beautiful that course is. Definitely something I would love to go out and go do.
I was going to say the reason that one would scare me is I would definitely miss cutoffs, because I'd be stopping too often going, oh my God, look at that. So, that's so much fun. What is your approach to like training and hydration, fueling? What do you like? What are the things you've learned about all these things?
For me, I just try not to take things too seriously, because that takes the fun out of it for me. But certainly with nutrition, it's definitely a lot of trial and error of what works for you and things like that. I'm not a very good eater at aid stations, so I'll usually tailwind it up and do a lot of liquids. I love Dr. Pepper.
Doing training blocks is not something that I'm very well versed in, but I've been trying to get myself into them more and more. I've put myself into one now, so that way I can be ready for 1 mile with a smile. And hopefully it can pay off by the time I'm there. As far as nutrition goes, that is also a love-hate relationship. You know, I love a good thing of mashed potatoes. Mix that with some broth. Like,
yep.
That seems to hit a lot of the time. But there's definitely a learning curve in trying to figure out just really what works. All of this is a learning process, and I'm here to take whatever it's given me, honestly.
That's awesome. What do you guys do when you're not running, when you're just hanging out?
At this moment, yeah, we're just hanging. I mean, we did go out earlier, and we did a point two group did an annual Memorial Day
thing they do on the bridge, right?
Yeah, so we went out and we did a couple loops with them out there, and then we came back, and now we're just hanging out with the dog and just chilling.
That's right. So you got to remind me your dog's name. I haven't actually met him yet, but what's your dog's name?
Well, we lost our sweet boy Winston in October of last year, and that was pretty brutal. It was a lot of grief kind of going into Masochist, certainly too.
Right.
But
'Cause that was
and
right
to
before
recover,
Masochist, wasn't it?
it was, yeah. And it's also the same day as Rim to River this year.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so I'll be thinking about sweet boy Winston the whole time. But our new puppy, she's 9 months old now, but her name is Willow. She's a sweet little girl.
Yeah, is she going to come out to Rim to River?
Well, I did get a cabin that allows puppies, but
There you go. Yeah, you gotta bring her. All right, so we're gonna start wrapping this up so that you can give Willow some time and everything. So this is how we like to wrap it up. The name of the podcast, obviously, is Living an Alter Life. So Charles, we'll start with you. What's the first thing that pops into your head when you hear Living an Alter Life?
So I think for me is definitely finding patience, learning while you're out, on the trails or on the road or, whatever running endeavor you're getting yourself into is to really instill a lot of patience with yourself and let some of these things come to you instead of you trying to chase after it all the time.
Awesome. Emily?
For me, it's mostly about resilience, just putting one foot in front of the other, and also a little bit of that being patient. And then for me, I just feel so much gratitude to be able to do this and move my body, and it's just been such a huge benefit for my mental health. Not that running replaces therapy, but it does help out a lot, and I'm just so grateful to have found this sport.
Awesome. Well, you two are so special. I can't emphasize enough what a special, special couple you are and how important you are to the Hampton Roads running community. I love seeing you guys.
Oh, thank you so
Thank you.
much.
You bet. Well, thank you for taking a little bit of time on a Sunday afternoon to be on. This has been
Thanks
awesome.
so much for having us.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.